I'm your host, Joe Voigt, and Indy's Local Flavor is brought to you by Anchor Podcasts. If you haven't heard about Anchor Podcasts, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, and the great thing about it, it's totally free. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. Anchor does all the legwork for you, so your podcast can be heard where you need to be heard, like on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and a whole lot more. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership required. It's everything you need to make your cool podcast all in one place. So download the Anchor app on your laptop or smartphone, or go to anchor.fm to get started. And once again, thanks for listening. A big thanks going out to Anchor for helping me do the podcast. Also, I've put out several music mixes on Spotify if you're interested. I've put out a hip-hop mix. I've also put out an 80s mix, a funk mix, and a rock mix with my buddies, the local band Chemo Blaze. And I just finished an inspirational mix, so I hope you go to Spotify and check those out. I think you'll enjoy them. The look back over my weekend, had a relaxing Saturday, didn't do a whole heck of a lot. Watching Star Wars, Clone Wars animated series. That's fun. And today, did the Sunday choir church thing. And we're all praying for a brother of mine, Martel, in the hospital for him to get better and back to full, better than full strength. Today's episode, we're going to concentrate on From Queens to Brooklyn to Worldwide, how Run-DMC and the Beastie Boys changed music forever. Joseph Simmons, Daryl McDaniels, and Jason Mizzle were from Queens, New York, more likely Hollis, Queens, and Run started out being a DJ for Curtis Blow. Run met DMC at school, and they both went to parties in Hollis, Queens, where they met Jam Master Jay, who was the DJ there. So they started their career with the help of Russell Simmons, who had Russell had a record label by the name of Def Jam that he ran with Rick Rubin, and Russell was hoping that Run-DMC would sign with them. However, they went with Profile Records instead. Their first album that Run-DMC put out was Run-DMC Rock Box. The hit songs off of that were Rock Box, which was the first hip-hop video to make it onto MTV. Another great song off that album is Jam Master Jay. And about Jam Master Jay was really the first DJ. He wasn't the first DJ, but he was one of the first DJs to take mixing and scratching to another level, and he could do that live, which is what the classic hip-hop DJs do, which for whatever reason has gotten away from in current rap today. Also, another great song off there was, in my first episode, I talked about the song Wake Up, which is a classic as well. I know I'm dating myself here, but Run-DMC's second album that they came out with is King of Rock. A classic album. The video, which I've discussed before, is basically Run and DMC go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they pretty much, because they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they destroy the Hall of Fame. Classic song. Another song off there is You Talk Too Much, and then Jam Master Jammin', which is a great song where it's exclusively Jam Master Jay mixing and scratching. The next album that changed hip-hop forever was the album Raising Hell by Run-DMC, produced by Rick Rubin. That basically broke the mold. The huge worldwide hit was Walk This Way. And Run DMC didn't really want to do it at first because they didn't like the lyrics. And Rick Rubin told them to go and memorize the lyrics to the original song by Aerosmith that was recorded in the 70s. And they eventually went and memorized the lyrics. And that song brought Aerosmith back into the forefront. And that music video on MTV was huge. So what happened there with that album is the start of touring and music merchandising for hip hop. So what happened with that album is several things. Run DMC was the first act to have a worldwide tour off of their album. They were the first hip-hop act to be on MTV. They were the first hip-hop act to be on the cover of Rolling Stone. They were the first hip-hop act to have their own shoe line based on their song off that album, My Adidas. And they toured with the Beastie Boys. And that, basically, what happened there is the business and advertising discovered Run DMC and figured out that they could profit off hip hop. So that was an amazing album with my favorite songs, Peter Piper, Walk This Way, and It's Tricky. And that whole album, I mean, every song on there is really good. You have a lot of albums out there that you go and buy, and there's like, I don't know, maybe you're lucky to, if there's 10 tracks on an album, and if you have 5 good tracks, you like that. But when you go and buy an album and every song's a winner, then that's a really good album. And that's what Raising Hell is with Run DMC. But the landscape of hip hop changed. So Run DMC was still doing the Run DMC thing, and they put out a film for this next album, and it's called Tougher Than Leather, that Rick Rubin wrote and filmed, and I believe he might have produced it. I don't know if he produced it or not, but I know he filmed it and wrote it, which I went and saw, and if you're a Run DMC fan, you'll like the movie. If you're not a Run DMC fan, you won't like the movie. I thought it was okay, but I've only seen it once, and that's it. So what happened with the landscape there with hip-hop is that's when Public Enemy came on the scene. And it's not that Run DMC did a bad album. It's that Public Enemy did an extraordinary album. And it's kind of like, you know, Run DMC was doing the same old boxing techniques, and then Public Enemy came up with a new uppercut and just kind of knocked Run DMC right out of the rings. So the album Tougher Than Leather had Run's House, love that song, and the hit Mary Mary. The next album they came out with was Back From Hell, which was trying to, in my opinion, duplicate a Raising Hell, which it was disappointing because they were trying to duplicate again what it was like with Raising Hell, and unfortunately they couldn't do that. However, they came back with their biggest hit that put them back on the map, and they had a song called Down With The King. And when that song came out, which followed with the album, that really put them back on the map, and it was their major comeback, and they had a big tour, which was exactly what everybody wanted from Run DMC. And finally, Finally, Run DMC's last album was Crown Royal, and the only hit off that album was a rock show. And basically what that was, it was a compilation album. Let me get that right. Compilation album. And it had a bunch of collaborations with people, but it was a disappointment in the fans' mind. So if you want to get the best of Run DMC, they have many greatest hits package out there that there's several Ultimate Run DMC's really good. So if you, that's what you want to download and on your phone, that would be, you can't really beat these guys, because they really put hip hop on the map. If it wasn't for them, there really wouldn't be any hip hop at all. The only regret I have about Run DMC is one. And I never had the opportunity to see them live, because in 2001, Jam Master Jay was killed. And that affected me personally, because I considered Run DMC and the Beastie Boys, and basically all the artists that I grew up with, and I'm a Generation Xer, so all the hip-hop artists that I grew up with, they weren't just hip-hop artists. To me, they were more like my brothers, because I knew their lyrics forwards, backwards, and sideways. And when I was alone in high school, in my room, listening to music, that's the music I chose. So when Jam Master Jay was killed and murdered, that affected me personally. And it was a big shock to me and the community as well, the hip-hop community. And there's a documentary of this on Netflix, and the documentary talks about what led up to Jam Master Jay's death, and the investigation or lack thereof. And you really need to watch it. It may be out on YouTube. I don't think it's on Netflix anymore, but it's really fascinating, because, you know, they've got an eyewitness that they didn't protect her identity. They wouldn't give her that in court. So they have an eyewitness on the shooter. They have it on videotape of who came into the studio and shot him. I mean, there are just so many easy answers to this murder. And it just never got investigated to the final, with the final answer that everybody wants. And it's been going on since. And it's a closed case, which is bananas. But anyway, that's another story for another time. So again, Run DMC is the pinnacle of hip hop. So if you're a record collector, you can go out and find these records, and I suggest you go out and do that. And I'm fortunate that I have them all. So I enjoy collecting records, and I enjoy collecting the artists that I like to follow, and Run DMC was the first on my list. Again, I just wish I could have seen them live, and I had my opportunities. And the last opportunity, right before Jam Master Jay was killed, they were here they're going to be at Deer Creek opening for Aerosmith, and they added another act. And I said, well, I'm not going to pay X amount of dollars to go see Run DMC for 15 minutes. And then Jam Master Jay was killed right after that. But they brought so much joy to so many people. So, you know, it just blows my mind. The King of Rock album is 35 years old. Also, without Run DMC, there'd be no Beastie Boys. And here's the little trivia part for you. When the Beastie Boys started out as a punk band, they had a female drummer. And her name was Kate Schellenbach. And she was also a drummer for the band Luscious Jackson. And they were a punk band for a while. I'd probably say a year or so, year and a half. And when Rick Rubin was the DJ for the Beastie Boys, he decided to let her go because it was the Beastie Boys, so he fired her. So that's your nice little trivia fact, that the Beastie Boys started out with a female drummer. But that comes full circle, because the Beastie Boys signed Luscious Jackson to their record label, Crown Royal label, later. The Beastie Boys' first full album sold 4 million records, and their first tour before their album dropped, it was Adam Yonk, it was King Ed Rock, MCA, and Mike D, Mike Diamond, Adam Yonk, and Adam Horowitz, and Rick Rubin was the DJ. They, believe it or not, opened for Madonna, which Rick Rubin said recently was they got booed a lot, which I can see that. That was before their album dropped. Their album, Licensed to Ill, sold 4 million records. And at that time, cassettes were still popular as well. So they sold 4 million cassettes and records at that time. And just like with Raising Hell with Run DMC, there's so many songs off there. Like the huge hit was Fight for Your Right to Party. And then my favorite's Paul Revere. And then The New Style is a great song as well. But that tour broke all the records. And the Beastie Boys, looking back on that tour, they were doing the sex, drugs, and rock and roll thing. So they enjoyed it at the time, but they changed their game later. They, at the time, with Licensed to Ill, which was a huge smash, that was on Def Jam Records, and everybody had that CD. But for whatever reason, the Beastie Boys had a problem with the royalties that they had getting paid. So they left Def Jam Records and decided to go to Capitol Records. So they left New York for Los Angeles. And Los Angeles... they changed to Capitol Records and recorded Paul's Boutique with the Dust Brothers. And that's where Shake Your Rump comes from. And so many great hits on that album. But people thought it was a flop because it wasn't Licensed to Ill. And looking back on it now, it wasn't a flop at all. It was just different. And now it's considered a classic because all the samples and the music and the music styles that they rhymed over. It's a fascinating album. If you haven't heard it, I suggest you check it out sometime. Their third release was Check Your Head. I remember that well because I was at Ball State at that time, and they had at that time, compact discs were popular in the 90s. So they had a CD release party at Discount Den in Muncie. So at midnight, there was a huge line to go buy that album. And I waited in line at midnight to go buy, get my copy of Beastie Boys' Check Your Head. And that was a fantastic album. Their next album that they dropped was Ill Communication. And that had their smash hit, Sabotage. And that was the only time I saw the Beastie Boys live, is when they came to Deer Creek, was on that tour, and that was the Lollapalooza tour with Luscious Jackson. Great lineup here. Luscious Jackson, George Clinton, A Tribe Called Quest, the Beastie Boys, and the Smashing Pumpkins closed out the show. A fantastic show. The only bad part about that show is I like a lot of music, but I don't like mosh pits at all. And I'll pay extra not to be in one. So I was at Deer Creek and I was in the pavilion and I was like three rows in and in the seats from the lawn. And the Beastie Boys closed the show out with the song Sabotage. And there was a mosh pit that went in the lawn. And so there was this young man who was in the mosh pit. And he kicks me square. He gets thrown around, kicks me square in the back, full force. And he's just kind of staring at me. And I was kind of upset at the time, and I take his face and push him back into the mosh pit full force. And I decided at that time, well, I'm leaving now. So I didn't see Smashing Pumpkins at all because I caught a foot square in the back during the mosh pit during Sabotage with the Beastie Boys. But, you know, that's the price of fame, I guess. Their next album was Hello Nasty, a really great album as well. So the Beastie Boys live in California now, where they've snowboarded and they've went to Mongolia and they've went all over the world. Their next album was a tribute to New York called To the Five Boroughs. They did an instrumental album called The Mix Up, and their final live album was the Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. They also dropped some other albums as well. The Same Old BS was their early punk stuff before they met Rick Rubin and started doing hip-hop. They also did another instrumental album called The End Sound for The Way Out. They had kind of a greatest hits called the Beastie Boys Anthology, The Sounds of Science. And the record labels also put out one that I don't have. I don't have this one. It's called Solid Gold Hits because I there wasn't any special reason for me to go out and buy that. So I didn't, but I've got all the rest. The Hot Sauce Committee was bittersweet because MCA died of cancer. And that was the last album with the Beastie Boys. And he died of cancer at an early age. And the Beastie Boys decided just to not record anymore, and I understand that argument. So, but again, when it comes to their first album, Licensed to Ill, again, all the early hip hop artists like Houdini, UTFO, Beastie Boys, Rakim, LL Cool J, Run DMC, Grandmaster Flash, the Fat Boys, so on and so forth. It wasn't music for me. It was more than music for me. It was like my brothers were in my room performing just for me every night. So when I found out that Adam Yonk died of cancer, that was hit me hard as well. And they were extremely private, which I understand that argument as well. They were extremely private with their family. So with their family lives, and I found out after he died that he had a daughter. But the positive part about Adam Yonk's and the Beastie Boys' life is Adam Yonk has a park named after him in Brooklyn, which is a very nice tribute. And Jam Master Jay has a foundation for him, for the arts, for kids, for young adults in Queens, New York. So they were very positive people. You know, they live the party lifestyle on the front end, but on the back end, they are very positive people. I just wish I would have had the opportunity to see Run DMC live, and I wish I would have seen the Beastie Boys live more, but I understand. I didn't have the opportunity. I just wanted to, but I couldn't. So in a perfect world, I would love to see the Beastie Boys, Kid Ad Rock and Mike D have a super group with Mixmaster Mike, their DJ, and Run and DMC do a super group and do a tour with that and do an album. But I don't see that happening anytime soon, but you never know. It may happen one day. We can always hope. So I just want to say thank you again for listening. If you want to leave a message about my podcast, you can on Anchor. You can certainly do that. So once again, I want to thank the people at Anchor for the podcast. I want to thank the people at Spotify for helping me with the playlist. And I'm Joe Voigt. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.